I'm Nick Harvey Doyle, an Anawan man from the northern tablelands of New South Wales. The Yarn podcast is made on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, and Bunurong people. We'd like to acknowledge First Nations people as the first storytellers. We pay our respects to elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
From the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne, this is The Yarn. I'm Thomas Phillips. Coming up to its third week, the Gaza Solidarity Encampment at the University of Melbourne is growing. Since its first night, it's almost quadrupled to at least 90 tents. But the encampment is coming under increasing pressure. Last Thursday, pro-Israel demonstrators marched across campus, culminating in a face-off with pro-Palestine students amid a heavy police presence. And this week, Peter Dutton called for encampments across the country to be forcibly removed. He also proposed new laws to fine universities that don't comply. But protesters say they're staying put until their demands are met. They're calling for the university to cut ties with weapons manufacturers. On Monday, Ellen Cutler and Preshita Shah interviewed a member of the encampment. To conceal his identity, the student only gave his first name, George. He's been camping at the university since day one of the protests.
Life at the encampment is going well. We have about 90 tents at the moment, most of which are occupied on any given night. And yeah, the community has come through in a big way. There's been lots of donations of materials and camping equipment and food across the week. And students and staff have been coming down every day to show support.
And generally, when students are walking past the encampment, do you feel as though they are encouraged to interact, and how much dialogue is occurring between the general student population?
Students who are walking by often wander in and want to have a chat about what we're doing in the encampment, which is wonderful. It's been a level of engagement that's motivated us to set up a front desk, which you can see over there. So we have our pamphlets and some UniMelt for Palestine members and volunteers around to have conversations and explain to people who aren't yet familiar with the movement what we're hoping to do by being on South Lawn.
On Thursday, there were the Zionist rally that showed up on campus. Is there any fear that you face during encampment or at night?
I know the Monash University encampment has had two nighttime raids, I suppose you could call them, from Zionists, which is horrible to see. So far at the Uni Melbourne encampment overnight, we haven't had any incidents like that. But throughout the daytime, since the start of last week, we have had people coming through the camp intermittently and trying to antagonize people at camp. But our policy is just do not engage with antagonists. We're not here for them. We're here in solidarity with the people of Gaza.
Is there any fear related to that?
I wouldn't say there's fear. It's just important for us as a community to look out for each other and keep each other safe. You can get a sense of the atmosphere here yourselves. There's a teach-in going on right now. We have community-based events happening every day, and overall I would say the mood is just one of community care and solidarity with Gaza.
That was George talking to reporters Ellen Cutler and Preshita Shah. Speaking to the ABC on Monday, Minister for Education Jason Clear said some Jewish university students are afraid to attend class. He also condemned anti-Israel rhetoric at protests. But as the encampments become more entrenched, pro-Palestine protesters say they are facing intimidation and harassment. On Monday, Ricky Sproul spoke to Dana Alshire, an encampment organizer from UniMelt for Palestine. He began by asking her why security is being tightened.
There was a counter-protest yesterday, and the protesters were extremely verbally violent and provocative. Obviously, like, we held our lines here, our marshals, we didn't engage with them, we had a zero engagement policy, but we've had several pro-Israel students and people identified as Zionists come into the encampment, harass some of our students, including a Palestinian student, following him around, harassing him with questions, harassing some of the girls at banner painting, walking around on the tents. So we've had several agitators around. Now, the number of security guards that you're seeing was actually deployed to ensure that nothing happens, as in not us, but outsiders and agitators like the pro-Israel group that have attacked Monash encampment two times so far.
And obviously those counter-protesters, their argument is that this protest is anti-Semitic,
yeah,
and that there are Jewish students who don't feel safe on campus. Are you able to give me a response to that?
Well, we do have our own Jewish students here and Jewish staff members who have been camping with us, who have been giving teachings with us. I don't believe that this encampment is anti-Semitic whatsoever, but also this approach that mainstream media, the university, even the university, and other people have been taking regarding our encampment extremely dehumanizing for Palestinians, because we don't feel safe. We're being physically and verbally attacked by Zionists here on campus, and no one's talking anything about our safety and how we're feeling. We're witnessing anti-Palestinian racism firsthand. We're witnessing Islamophobia. We've been attacked several times. We've been on socials. We've been sent threats by Zionists saying that they're going to send poison food to our encampment. So the question shouldn't be about whether a certain group of people feel safe or not, because we're not here to attack anyone. This encampment has very specific goals. We're here to demand that Melbourne University cut its ties with weapons manufacturers and end its complicity in the genocide, and to demand a clear and moral ethical stance from Melbourne University, which is basically they're being silent on the genocide.
And are you in any sort of ongoing dialogue with the university about your aims?
So we've met with the university on Friday. UM4P organizers met with the university on Friday, and we have conveyed our demands to them. And we have demanded that they must address these demands. I think that there is a council meeting tomorrow. So based on their response, we will see what our next steps will be. But we will publish a statement soon. But at the end of the day, we are here until the university cuts all its ties with weapons manufacturers and ends its complicity in the genocide in Gaza.
So in the mainstream Australian media, this protest movement is starting to get arguably more coverage than the war in Gaza itself.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, and what's your sort of media strategy around giving attention to the war in Gaza versus the conflicts domestically?
Yes, I think that we cannot allow for mainstream media to divert attention away from what's happening in Gaza, the genocide. But also, in all fairness, mainstream media, especially here in Australia, have been extremely racist, extremely biased. The coverage has been, to say it in the nicest way possible, absolutely hideous. There's barely any coverage to what's actually happening in Gaza. The wording, the language that they use to address the genocide in Gaza versus what they use to address other situation says a lot about them. A lot of the people here are depending on social media and independent news outlets to get their information from. I think that, of course, we should get coverage, but we shouldn't get coverage because some people think that we're anti-Semitic. We should coverage because why are we protesting here? It's because our institutions are complicit. There's institutional complicity from organizations like and bodies like Melbourne University in the genocide and oppression of the Palestinian people. So it does go back to how this coverage is being done, which is on both ends, whether it's on students protesting or on the genocide in Gaza, has been extremely bad, biased, and racist. So if they want to cover this encampment, then they need to cover this encampment for what it really is, which is demanding an end to complicity in the genocide in Gaza from Melbourne University.
And are you optimistic about those aims being achieved?
The more we look into Melbourne University's complicity in the genocide, and not only the genocide, but their complicity and their involvement with the defense and military industrial complex, the more we get more information and realize that this is genuinely a military industrial complex disguised as a university. The depth of the ties, of the involvement with weapon manufacturers, with defense researchers, with companies like Amazon that are providing technologies for oppressive regimes is, to say it again in the nicest way possible, sickening. It's sickening. Academic institutions should be the core of a circle changes when it comes to moments like these in history. But we're finding ourselves surrounded by a university that is full-on complicit. It is not an impartial, academic, free speech organization. It is a university and a body, just like some of the other universities across the world and in Australia. They're just complicit in the genocide and they don't care. So I'm not sure how to answer that question, but I will say that we will continue fighting. We were not going to stop pressuring the university until they cut all their ties with weapons manufacturers, until they develop and adopt an ethical policy with clear ethical standards to what kind of research is being done here and where the money that they're getting come from. Because I don't care if you're getting money from a company that also produces cancer research. If Lockheed produces cancer research, that does not make it okay for you to still take money to produce research about weapon manufacturing or advanced algorithms like the C4ISR, which is being used by Lockheed Martin to produce drones. And this is one of the technologies that are being researched right now in the postdoctoral research grants that are coming from Lockheed Martin, which are at this moment valued at $350,000. So I would just, it's hard to be optimistic, and also I wouldn't be honest if I say I'm pessimistic. I think the power of the students, the power of the community will be able to create the change that we're looking for. And I think if we, you know, we're going to stay here until they answer our demands, and we're going to pressure them to listen to their students, because they're taking hundreds of millions of dollars from these students per year. So they need to understand that we are the ones who should be making the decisions, not them.
That was Dana Ashaya talking to Ricky Spruill. A massive thank you to reporters Ellen Cutler, Preeshita Shah, and Ricky Spruill. The yarn is from the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne. It's produced on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Our executive producer is Louisa Lim. I'm Thomas Phillips. See you next week.